Is August 14th, 1999, and yesterday I asked Lucille if she would be willing to share some of her experiences and thoughts with us for the Oral History Project. And also I thought, well, since it turns out that some of us are leaving tomorrow, maybe we could also ask Catherine, maybe if you could talk a little bit too. But first of all, we'll
do her first, maybe, huh? Oh. She's leaving today.
Oh, you're leaving today?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, if you wanted, I mean, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit with us.
My plan turned off.
We turned it off. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they're just asking questions.
Well, one of the things that I know that Robbie was telling me that they wanted to get more, narratives about were the tidal wave. Maybe you could share with us what your experience of the tidal wave.
Well, the day of the tidal wave, I got out of the hospital right after I had a baby.
Oh.
We went up to Pillar.
Uh huh.
My whole family. That's all I
know. So where were you at the time?
I was at home. I just got out of the hospital that morning.
Oh, I see. Uh huh.
But I was at home on the earthquake.
Uh huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see when the wafers coming in?
Yes, we were up in Pillar then.
Oh. So
my sister-in-law picked us up.
Uh huh.
My family, you know, with my husband, and then with their four boys, there must have been about 14 of us in a little car.
Uh-huh.
And we went up the Pillar, and I was the first one into the building because I had just had a baby.
Uh-huh.
They were going to have everybody else in the car, but eventually they let everybody else in.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then we came down about 4 in the morning, I think. We went down to Phil Scholl's place. And I think it was 2 weeks later we had that real sharp one again. Was it?
Yeah, there was tremors. So much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so
yeah, there was tremors.
Yeah, there was supposed to be another wave, big waves.
Because I remember it was 2 weeks later, I think I was at my own place, and we were sitting around the table. Julie Kamagan's mother was visiting.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because the kids had just gone back to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so hard and so quick, we didn't have a chance to do anything. We were trying to get out, but it was so strong, we couldn't, we just sat back down.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you know, we kept having tremors after that, but that, I think it was 2 weeks later, was really strong. That was, we just didn't have a chance to do anything, but that's all I remember.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You didn't see any of the boats drifting in?
The next morning we did, early. Mm-hmm. You know, it was getting kind of light then, looking out the window, trying to figure out, and boy, it was a surprise. And I think the next day, too, that water line broke, and you thought it was oil.
The what broke?
Water line broke.
Oh.
Downtown.
Oh, yeah.
We thought it was, we struck oil.
Uh-huh.
Geezer.
But then the next day, Sonny went to a Fogginac to pick his folks up. He took the boat and went and got his mom and dad from a Fogginac, not knowing if they were, you know, okay.
Right.
But I think they were up the mountain or somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's all I remember about the earthquake. It was powerful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It really was.
That's all I know.
Does anyone else have anything that they wanted to... Any other experiences about the earthquake that...
I would have to do mine from back in 1936.
Yeah.
My first experience in the tidal wave.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'd go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I would have to. 1936.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he should remember part of it. We were talking about that the other day. Dennis and I, because Carlock was a large little village at that time. You know, all the homes, that's way before 64 earthquake, before they wiped out. And this happened in 1936, that I can remember.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about
Hill,
that.
When it first started, it was in the afternoon. The villages down in there had a lot of outside toilets, okay? and sort up on the hill. They saw me. Our church. When it first happened, the church bell rang, okay? And Nikita Sophie's dad was the starist at that time. The church bell rang.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't figure out. We were sitting in the mesa with Martin, and then they were playing their accordions. And we were young, but then we I remember that very much. Down into the valley, like that, you would see the houses, like Babuka's house and all those. And they used to call that little old lady Susie. We were up there, church bell rang, and then after that it shook, and it shook. And that bridge that crossed over was actually waving. But we didn't know it was earthquake until her dad, Larry Marka, shouted, earthquake, and Katyusha. We were little, we didn't think nothing of it too much. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they said, Awai, una, imak teyo, inside into the island where we used to play mayachik. It covered up the whole island. So we're sitting up on the hill, we were still watching it, fascinated with it. But all of a sudden, the tide came in full, right down into the island, covered up the island, and then it came up and it went back up. Tawa alu teach them new world and there's a tidal wave, you know. They said that it took, and it went back up. Low tide again, you know, they kept saying that's low tide already, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the sudden one came in. Susie Mwatha, that little old lady. Her father Gurasam used to like to play around with her, dye her hair with peroxide and all that. She used to be so glad she came out there already at June. Went into the toilet, outside toilet, Kanani, Kolya Mungilwa, Isina Mungilwa, and Shortcuts, Babukas, down in the valley. The tide came back in, and we saw Susie go into the Nuznik. The tidal wave, the big one came in. She was in there. She was in. The tide went back out there and she couldn't figure out where she was, you know. Her toilet moved to the other place.
Oh, gosh.
She was still in
there.
Oh. We didn't have time to be scared. This was our first experience in tidal waves, you know.
Right.
But afterwards, it was not very funny. It was not. So.
Was she still sitting down as the tide was being moved?
Well, she was. Her seat was getting wet. She couldn't figure it out. Just like a boat. When she came out, the door opened, the door. That was my first experience of tidal wave.
Now, that little island you were talking about, is that the one they call Sissak?
Yeah,
that's
Shishamitamani,
the one?
Where
you used to,
They would, you know, bows and arrows, their targets was those great big poles that we saw.
Yeah,
They dried their fish there too.
We dried everything down in their tamuk.
What place did they call Asia?
The one up on the hill, like we were going up.
Akishamrak.
From Samoshka's place, there were steps that went up the hill, and then a little platform there, that's where we were sitting, and then we go up. Skadi Mamalungwatha was not very far from
right
the church.
Right up to the right there, step,
The one, where church was.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the one in 65?
Yeah.
The 64, you mean?
Yeah, 64, sorry.
64.
Yeah.
The second one was down in Karnataka that I experienced
in
1945
during
World War.
Yeah.
The earthquake?
You were in Karnataka.
Wasn't that the one that destroyed Scotch Cap Lighthouse?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
That's
46.
I remember
going up
there. I was
over
in Canada.
Then
when that happened,
there was a couple guys got lost from there.
I think that was
there.
There was a warning.
Did you go up?
A couple guys from that Scotch Cape lighthouse got lost.
And then
washed it away.
Okay, the tidal wave. We were clam digging, me and Barbara. Barbara, Nikolaska, Nuriska.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara and them, we were Canada, we went clam digging, her and I. Kita Hawk, she said, let's go. We went clam digging. Jack Week, one-eyed Jack Week was there then. And we went down to the clams. And we didn't know it was a tidal wave.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had radios, but they were only used for emergencies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At that time. World War II, everything was kind of silent, secretly in that war.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down there and we're climbing again. She said, oh, well, the tide is coming in. I said, well, we better move up a little bit again. So we're thinking. They went back down again. She told me the same thing. I said, the tide's going back out again.
Mm.
Until Jack Week called from his speaker hall. He said, the tidal wave.
Mm.
So we came up. Right behind us, we came from there just in time.
Mm.
Right behind was a big one with logs and all just swooped right up.
Mm.
We got out of there just in time.
What year was that?
1945.
It was around December in late part
No. This was during
in the spring.
I would say in the month of July, in there. Because they were getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to go over that hill and go down to Igigig.
Igigig, yeah. What were you doing in Connecticut at the time?
We? Uh-huh. I was... This is going to be a sad story that I've been trying to keep to myself. Not really. It's just... In them days, I was young. I would say I was 16 years old. And their chief's name was Nikolai. Nick Ruff was his name. And Philip Rostopsov was my stepdad then. It was after my papa died. Now we're going into my childhood, okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He brought it back out there, so it's got to come out. It has to come out. And so Nikolaska told his brother, Philip, to join him to Connecticut. So that's how come I wound up in Connecticut. After we were working in a cannery.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and then they, after they had scared down in when the Japanese attacked the harbor down there,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it was into the fall when we finally left. And Robert Shirley came by traveling twice a month.
Uh-huh.
He picked us up to take us to Connecticut. My first experience there when I was younger. But I didn't know what they had planned for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those guys that they selected a woman for this man, okay?
Mm.
And he was already 45 years old, and he'd been married before.
Oh.
All his kids were older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I became their stepmother, and I felt a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So Herman Seeley is the one that gave us those licenses, you know, and I didn't know, you know? I didn't know any better. So he let us sign. I didn't know him. And I didn't even know I became his wife.
Uh-huh.
You know? That was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Atam Hope, I didn't know anything about men, you know.
Yeah.
He never told us anything
yeah.
about, you know, what the men could do to you and all that.
Yeah.
Not room up that long.
Uh-huh.
So signed the paper. That was fine, you know. I was still running around with my teenagers, you know,
yeah.
having fun. I didn't even know he was my husband. I went to his place, you know,
mm-hmm.
he invited us and Chaya Florida. Well, but he never come closer. I wouldn't dare let him come close to me because he was old already, you know. I'm just a little teeny bopper. Crazy. So in the evening I went home.
Mm-hmm.
Our house was like, I don't know how many of you have been in Connecticut. But there was a little bridge that used to cross over the river where they used to catch fish
mm-hmm.
to go over the hillside. So we got there and Tawa after school. I was still going to school with them. My brother Moses will tell you that. We were down at Jenny's house, Anana's house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tawa, at the flood. So it was time to go home. I didn't know I was married to that goddamn man. I went home. Mama, what you doing home? Then my stepdad feel because it. Naomi, Unin, or whatever he called it, my husband. I don't know. You don't live here no more. I said, why? You know, it really struck me funny when he said, this is not your home no more. Where am I supposed to go, you know? How am I going to go back to Carlo? You know, you don't have no more. So they're talking to me. You can't stay here no more. And I thought maybe I was going to get married with young guys, you know, not but cheap with the village, you know, cheap. And then they started calling me Mrs. G. Bullshit. I forget that you guys are married. I'm just talking to the ladies.
Well, that's where Ananda went, huh?
Yeah, the one.
Ananda and Jenny, remember, they were in a fog night.
Yes,
yeah, the that's one. Where, that's where they did must have ended
yeah.
up.
Yeah, that's yeah. when he
I
died
thought
over
they were
there.
In Carlo. Yeah.
yeah.
No. They moved, yeah. the Ananda yeah, took her over so. There to Canada.
Yeah.
I, they told me to go home. You know what? I couldn't go in that house. What am I going to do? You know? I was surprised. No way. It was a sad situation for me, I'll tell you. Then years later, Robert, before he drowned, whatever, Robert Shealy and Roy Madsen. Mm-hmm. Roy Madsen knew him very well, that mm-hmm. the chief of the village of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that I was a very young girl, you know, and I was working for McConaughey then in Kodiak in 1946. Mm-hmm. Is when he gave me my divorce. I didn't have to appear or nothing. They just automatically freed me. Yeah. I'm like, what are they telling me? Yeah. I was scared of him, you know? I didn't know what they done because...
Canada must have been like Vegas, huh?
Huh?
Canada must have been like Vegas.
The marriage had to be annulled.
They never told us anything about... what was going to happen, what's ahead of you, you know, just like your periods and so forth. I didn't. If they said the baby was born in the barn, we believed it.
Yeah.
So we went baby hunting then, you know?
Yeah.
Or Santa Claus dropped it down for us. Winter time, you know?
Yeah.
Pookie luck, there's a down the beach, Babaka was a down the beach, so we're digging those pookie lucks, looking for babies.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
You know, I was very dumb. Stupid, I guess you would say.
We used to ask people, where were you born? Where were you born?
People say nasty word, excuse me. I'm used to talking to these girls, not you guys.
Yeah.
The stork I was dropped.
Yeah.
So that's how it began. The two tidal waves that experienced.
Right.
On 64 earthquake, I was up in Anchorage when that happened. And this was on Good Friday.
Right.
And I was looking for a hat for Easter. We went down. Just got out of the hat shop, going over to Elmendorf. My husband was in the service then. And so we're cutting across to go to the commissary. So we had just come out from JCPenney's. Just got out of JCPenney's when that happened. The elevator's locked and everything, you know. People got locked in there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The concrete just crumbled up high, just like great big mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the cars got caught when the earth split up, open and closed them quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we got up to Elmendorf. So those telephone poles were going way down. They were in the car. And it wasn't too bad, but then all of a sudden when he opened the door, he said, I think you got flat tires, so we're both out there. Putting on the flat tires, he had no flat tires. All of a sudden, I looked down there, on the ground. That ground was just going like this, in jelly, like it was going to split open right from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know. So we pulled up to the driveway at the commissary. People coming out. When they all came out, the warehouse collapsed, way down.
Mm-hmm.
So I got out of the car and I'm heading. I told my husband, I said, boy, I said, we cut the people coming out, there won't be that many people in the commissary. We got a chance to look around. I got to the door, the MP says, where you think you're going, Miss Lady? I'm going to commissary. No, you're not. I said, why? It's earthquake. All that time, all those cats were just rolling all over.
Mm.
candles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then our kids was in the village in Nunaka Valley. That's where we stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest daughter was, she'd been already being experienced on talking about tidal waves and earthquakes. And she's the one that took care of our children, her brothers and sisters, while mm-hmm. we were gone. And we got to the first gate, and I told the guy, I says, I'm walking home. They stopped the cars,
mm-hmm.
you know. I thought my husband was out of gas. I'm going home. I'm walking. He said, the captain, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. By that time, that Elmendorf Hospital cracked, and it was falling apart. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the schoolhouse mm-hmm. up on that hill slid right down.
Mm-hmm.
So we got home. And it was, while it was getting dark, you know, getting dark. Mm-hmm. That's what made it so bad, because it was dark, no lights, no water. And the men, military people were trying to take care of us on this side and all over Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so because another one hit that little after midnight up there in Anchorage. That's the one was I was more alert to. Because the first one, I didn't really know what was going on.
Uh-huh.
It just took us off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one, when she made that move, then we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Easter Sunday, and we couldn't. The church that we used to go to was Greek Orthodox. That's before this Russian mm-hmm. Orthodox who came. So they told us then just to go to Baptist Church on Muldoon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we couldn't cross over. I mean, the ground was all crumpled up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we had our Russian Easter services. Because we can go nowhere.
Huh.
No water. So that was my experience. But I didn't see the tidal wave there. Mm-hmm. It was just all crumbled up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had experienced at 2 and 36 and 45.
Right, yeah.
So other than that, I were okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I had 4 kids. I got them all outside because the house was just crackling. So we were sitting outside on the deal, and I forgot my baby in the bedroom.
Oh no!
So I went into the back. I had to walk all through the house, and when I got in there, the bunk was just back. So I just grabbed my baby. I went out and I got by the kitchen sink. I was almost fainting. It was so strong. So I just stood there. My kids were screaming outside. Sonny had just gone downtown to Jacob Lakeen, bought her a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to pick them up. And the kids were fine. I told them, don't be scared, it's an earthquake. Well, in the meantime, the sky was just black, and it looked like we were right below the mountain there.
Mm.
It was just like this.
Were you living where you're living?
Up on the hill behind Kodiak Inn.
Where were you then?
And then the scene in the breakwater, you know, it sunk. But I don't know what I did with my baby. All I remember is grabbing her and getting as far as the kitchen sink, because the kids were good. And then when they saw their dad, they were just like a seagull. They all started screaming and crying. I didn't panic. I was.
Uh-huh.
I guess I was shocked. I just didn't know what was going to. I didn't think the world was coming to an end, but the sky was so black.
I didn't give it the thought at all.
It was black.
My son Gary would lay on the porch. He said, man, this is fun. And old Holman, remember old Holman? We had the Quonset of Jordan.
Yeah.
He was running down here. And see, when he hit one of those bumps that come up, he'd stumble, you know, jump up and start running again, hit another bump, you know. You know, the ground was going up and down.
Put down
the and our, I had a 47 Chevy station wagon.
That's where I heard the story of the
I'll see you, I'll call you when I get you back in.
From the couple that came to me.
There was so many mix over there, so he called himself number 10.
Oh.
And his wife's name was Tootsie. So those are the ones that told me the story about that volcano when they crossed it over there.
Oh, at Kinetic.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
They didn't know where they were going.
I
they were coming from some
did
other Nugashik or someplace across.
Oh.
Did you sign your name?
He had they believed on their faith very strongly, uh-huh. like I do. He had carried his Bozhenka, which was Nikolai.
They
always carried that on the boats.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be a weather.
Mm-hmm.
Panteleimon was the healer.
Mm-hmm.
The saint was the name of the healer.
Right.
And then his wife had the Bozhimati
mm-hmm.
in their padarkas.
Right.
At that time they didn't have any dories and kickers. Mm-hmm. They were just pedaling, you know, quietly along the course. And that's when that cat rattle came up first.
Mm.
And ashes was coming down. And they kept praying. And you know they were in their padarkas. Is that them great big ashes would fall down red, all just close by their boats and
mm-hmm.
sizzled and boiled, never got into their boat.
Wow.
And they kept praying and praying.
And they were where again? They were
coming in from Nagasik, coasting over that mainland.
Oh.
That's how come they discovered Kanata, the village. They landed there when they was able to see the land.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very true story.
So they were traveling along the river or lake or something like that?
Along the ocean.
Oh, along the ocean?
Mainland. See, Karuk is on this side.
Right.
Mainland heads that way, which they call Shilikal.
Right. But they were coming from Ugashik.
Mm-hmm.
So they must have gone all the way around.
All the way around.
Port Muller?
Yeah, along that way.
Yeah, and then up past Mitrofanya village and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Back then they had that Mitrofan village, right?
Near, I never heard of that one, but there was...
Near Perryville. Or they had to go past Chignik.
They were not down to Perryville. They hadn't got down there yet.
Oh.
Kanadak was the first one that they discovered.
Right.
And then from there they would go down to Perryville, Chignik, all down there.
Uh-huh. But they had to pass by that when they came up to Kanadak, or where their site was. So they were actually traveling up along...
Quite a bit.
But at the time that the Katmai erupted, that they were actually traveling along the coast toward Kanadak?
When it happened.
Oh.
But they didn't even know it was Kanadak when they arrived.
Huh.
They just saw the land. Because he said you couldn't even see ahead of you anywhere. But somehow or another they had that trail, I guess, of their own mind that the fate brought them there. And they landed in that land, which is called Kanak.
Mm-hmm.
He himself didn't even know.
So yeah.
That's where they made their home after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then up at the hill there from Kanak, we used to go hike the mountain. And up above, in the island, up above the top of the mountain on the other side was a great big lake.
Mm-hmm.
Big lake. And they used to say, you couldn't have to go close to that lake. There was an Indian path that they used over in that pond, in that lake, what they call, they used to say that there was some kind of a monster in there that you got to be very careful.
Mm.
And then they said that they carried their holy water and everything, they always blessed it.
Mm.
Yeah, part of it was a great big octopus.
Mm.
Part of it was a whale. And once in a while that would appear. And if it did, that lake would flood over on top of the mountain.
Mm. Did they give a name for that lake?
There is a name for that, but I cannot remember.
Oh.
I cannot remember.
Sheriff Lake?
For what, the lake or the name for the
monster? Well, I was wondering which lake it was.
Is that Iliamna?
No, Iliamna is down. Where they used to take them boats also.
Yeah.
Take them down the rapids, go down the rapids. Several times I went down the rapids to go down to Igigig.
Uh-huh.
The Sheriff Lake.
Is it the Sheriff Lake? Okay, that's the Sheriff
Lake. Is this where they went to?
That's the great
Pilot
big one.
Pilot Point and Igigig. Is that the one? Go to Pilot Point.
The Sheriff is the great big lake up there.
No, I'm talking about the one on top of the mountain.
Oh, that's
on top of the mountain. There was a name to it before you got down to the villages.
Mm.
Coming which way though? Coming
from Kanadak side, from this side.
From Kanadak and going to...
Going up the hill.
And then...
Going toward Igigigiman, they call it.
Oh, Igigig. Yeah. Igigig, yeah. Uh-huh. Huh. Yeah.
I only talked about that was for sure.
That's where I learned to speak their language.
Uh-huh.
They call their dogs Kikmit.
Right, yeah, uh-huh,
and
yeah.
And then they called their
did you get it
shoes with a chikakka.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so forth. I was able to pick up their way of speaking.
Right, uh-huh, yeah.
See, it tells me that there was each village had their own little way of adding on to their
mm-hmm,
language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
But they meant the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. So they told you about that.
Uh-huh.
That on that lake that was on the top of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
that there was a...
We have one in Carlock like that, too.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. They used every little swamp,
uh-huh.
on the month of January the 19th, when they make that holy water, Prishenyami, they always went out there and blessed these swampy places.
Mm-hmm.
Because in them days, there was a lot of swamps and wild people, runaways.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were afraid of. That's why Robert used to keep your grass cut. To this day, you will hear every now and then a person disappeared. So they're still in this world, the people, the wild men.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes them believe they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, that they lose somebody, disappear.
They say that take a hunter out, and his partner just disappeared. And then they said he ate him. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They keep off.
Yeah.
And they
eat their own people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you say there's a legend of some kind of a lake monster in Carlock?
That hill. No.
Or was that?
It was just every now and then they would come out.
Uh huh.
But half. Okay, they would always see them have, especially toward Nunavik, where my Krosna used to live.
Mm-hmm.
There's a swamp in there. They would be seen by somebody, always. Mm-hmm.
And this was in Carlock?
In Carlock.
Oh.
Yeah, Carlock River. Come out. Yeah. They still are like, the deceased will let you, they'll appear, the
mm-hmm.
spirits, I guess, will let you see.
Mm-hmm.
So they would never be forgotten, I guess. That's why Robert used to go and bless those lakes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Yeah.
And this, they said that this thing it would come halfway out of the water,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, and where
from
would they?
The swampy areas.
From the swampy areas. Uh-huh.
Yes, swampy areas. Uh-huh. My brother, my youngest brother, Moses, happened to see Philip Wasili, that drowned right there in Larsen Bay,
mm-hmm.
in that bay. And he saw him, remembered him with his black knitted cap, and he was showing himself to my brother.
Mm.
So he made the sign of a cross then,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Robert used to tell when you do that, let us go for the lady.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they wanted to show themselves.
Mm.
So I guess maybe to tell stories about them, or I don't know what it is, but you've always seen somebody appear.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Mm,
so this was more like a person then?
Yeah,
or was it like
a human being.
Oh, so it was
like if, let's say that it was me.
Mm-hmm.
You know me.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere along the line, maybe I would appear and you would say, I saw this here. I'm here.
Oh, uh-huh.
Spirit.
Uh-huh.
But that person would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That person would
disappear. So you're talking about Olaks.
Runaways. How did they survive?
Olak?
Yeah.
They survived in this land with a lot of wild fish and ducks and everything. That's funny. That, like that girl was saying, sometimes they would eat their own people.
One person disappeared. He was going to hike to Old Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivan Duke, he disappeared while he was hiking. They never found a trace of him.
See, that's why I said they're still very much in this world, I guess, because they still remain losing people that disappear.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That lake monster, you said it was half...
As a matter of fact, my daughter saw it in the paper about 5-6 years ago. She says, Mama, the story that you told us is a story, I think she got a hold of it, or was it in the paper? She saw it. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, that's what my mama used to tell me. She said, and I kind of forgot about it. It definitely was in the paper. Mm-hmm. I think it's an amusing paper. Mm-hmm. Books or something like that. Mm. That's the story. Yeah.
So that one was the one near Connecticut that was, you said, half octopus and half whale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Part, half and half.
Mm-hmm.
Half and half. Right. But I cannot remember the lake up there in that lake.
Right.
I can't. Mm-hmm. I cannot. But I remember it all the time.
Yeah.
And like I said, that they used to go up there for Christiania in January uh-huh. the 19th with holy water and go right. up there and bless it. And every little swamp you would... They went ahead and mm-hmm. blessed them. Because they themselves used to say, especially my stepfather and Larry McFay. It's a wonder that Larry McFay never mentioned it. Years ago, the bears had tails, okay? And it's very mm-hmm. seldom that you see a bear, brown bear, but brown bears, especially grizzly bears, mm-hmm. have a tail.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story about that.
Mm.
Because Nicanor, that was... What's her name? Tatiana's mom's husband, to be Nicanor. No, Julius. They used to come over from Alatak, him and Larry and several others, to come for a New Year's dance. At that time, years ago, they used to snow a whole bunch. Now we don't have near as much snow as we used to. When they came, they spotted, they was asking Filka, my stepdad, that they saw a strange bear. And he had a tail.
Hmm.
Then that's when he told them, he said, them kind are dangerous. If you come to a swamp, you think that they would go ahead and sink. Those kinds did not sink in the swampy places. Like you and I would go to the swamp and would sink in, mm-hmm. you know? And then if they came to a solid ground, that's when they would sink. Opposite mm-hmm. from the ground. You know, mm-hmm. like I'm saying that we went with soft ground,
wow.
they would sink.
Uh-huh, yeah.
The bear did not. Huh. Only when they come to a solid foundation, uh-huh. or ground, they would go down.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Huh.
Mm-hmm. The bears them days had tails.
Huh. Bears with tails.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Those, they used to say, are very, very rare. Very, mm-hmm. very rare now. That's where that story comes out about the bear and the fox.
Mm.
The sly old fox
mm-hmm.
did his trick to that bear. It's a story.
Do you remember that story? Or?
It's a this sly old fox
mm-hmm.
was fishing, looking for food down on the ice, solid ice. And this bear came along, and that guy already had fish. The sly old fox had fish already.
Mm-hmm.
So the bear with the tail on
mm-hmm.
was making strange remarks. You know, how did you get it? He was asking him, how did you get that fish? So the smart old fox decided, he says, you put your tail, use that for fishing rod or fishing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, put your tail down in
uh-huh,
the ice
yeah.
hole, catch your fish.
Uh-huh.
He kept it in there till it froze and fell off.
Oh! And that's how the bear lost its tail.
The sly old fox got it.
Yeah.
And the tip of the fox, you know, uh-huh. white's white. He spilled that milk on his tail. That's why the tip of his tail was.
Cute.
Yes. You missed out on a good part a while ago. I had to excuse myself when I said bullshit.
Yeah.
I was dealing with the men.
Yeah, Gordon, did you have any questions you'd like to, or any sorts of things you wanted to ask Lucille about?
Yeah,
Now you ask him when he's got his mouth full of food.
Well, something that Lucille and I have talked about privately, but I wondered if she would talk about how she perceived alcohol in villages years ago. I mean, we hear a lot today about the problems, but we never hear very much about a long time ago, and if it was perceived as a problem, or if it was.
Yeah, I spoke about it. It used to be kind of a personal thing, but now I would like for it to come out openly.
Mm-hmm.
Since I started telling stories, my life has changed a great deal. I see the drunks from my childhood after my papa died. Let's take an example from Philip. He drank a lot. But there was no word that said alcoholic people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all the word that was And I grew up around it. And it wasn't very pleasant for me. I used to cry because they would get drunk and fight and beat up their wives and so forth. When I said, when I grew up, I will never take that with me. I'll leave it behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I tried to raise my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But there's always one in a family that's always a bad apple.
Mm-hmm.
Mama used to say, she used to say, Ataku, when you get older, you will have children, okay? Don't condemn or judge a person because your child, one of them, can be a problem.
Yeah.
Is. She said, it don't matter if it's the priest, the judge, the lawyers, will always have problems. And they wouldn't discuss it because they're ashamed of their own. It happened to me. This is a very true story of my life that I want to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
From the past to this generation.
Right.
My having the faith, I have to cry sometimes because it's true. It's very true. We never heard of a drug. You know, they didn't have drugs then, that I know of until after World War II. That's when it starts showing up a little bit.
Right.
You know, that I never, to this day, I have never experienced that drug or the whatever you call marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I just, those things didn't turn me on. It was same thing with alcohol. It just never turned me on.
Mm-hmm.
On account of my crossness words.
Mm-hmm.
That's how powerful the crossness words are, and the mother's words are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Let me use myself for example. And I wouldn't say that I'm fanatic, or even if I go to church, I wouldn't say that I'm perfect than you guys or whoever. I'm just a human being that makes mistakes daily. I'm not perfect by long shot, you know. But I try my best to try to keep this story going, you know. Because when I go, that's the end of the story from my side.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I like to talk about Carlin more than I do a fog neck, because those are not my home. That's
right.
Not where I was born.
Yeah.
I was born in Carlin, and that's what I talk about in Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I can argue with you as long as I can, and then if I cannot, I'm lost, brother, I quit. I will not argue more. I argue from the time from my ancestors taught me down to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the drug situation. I see it every day in my life. I was home in Larson Bay is not my home, but Carlick is. But then after 64 earthquake, Mama then moved to Larson Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it when I left in 1946 after World War II. I left Alaska shortly in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I never returned up here till 53, before the earthquake. And my first child, she was born when I was 26 years old, my first baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back and never returned till 72.
Mm-hmm.
That's when after the 60th earthquake here, you know, I was up in Anchorage and I didn't really know what was going on this side as it was over there.
Yeah.
So I did, my children started going to school, and every day of my life, I would always try to do my best for my children.
Mm-hmm.
Any woman that has bear the child, will talk to their children the best way we know how. We don't want them to make the same mistake that I did. You know, because we love our children. No matter how bad they are, we're going to help them in the bad. Don't be ashamed to help your children. That's where my mistake was, because I went to church. Holidays, I'm very deeply involved in the choir, you know, like among the priests, the mothers, cousins, and so on. And I couldn't tell them the problem that I had. To myself, I kept. But I'd go home and see this. Sure enough, this other family's got a problem. So we kind of kept it to ourselves because we didn't. I knew that they would talk about me. She goes to church, and yet her children's doing this, you know. But yet I've seen it in their side. It seems to me that in our family we don't see it. Only the other person could see what's wrong, and the other's parties. Okay. So I saw father's children myself too, but I couldn't come out and tell them that your son is doing this. Youngest one, age of 17, he took the wrong path, and his name is Michael. His saint's name is Michael, Archangel Michael, Michael, Raphael. Those two angels that's on the side of the doors when you enter the church. Those are the two will be the first ones that show up with our Lord when he coming to us. You know, he made my husband very unhappy at times, but he never attacked him. We've done everything we could for that child. We loved him dearly, but he never listened to us. One problem, the biggest problem of my life then, was wondering where is he when he didn't show up. I couldn't go to sleep until that door opened up. I would lay there and wondering if the phone is ringing for me. Is it the cop saying, well, your son, we found him over here. That's how we love our children so much. We don't. Mama used to do the same thing to us. If we went to dance on Friday nights, if we didn't show up, we'd sneak up down upstairs, you know, the cop downstairs would snap and grab, trying to be quiet. Mama would say, Ni tamchi, you know, us girls. So that's what would happen. So my husband passed away in 88. And he became my problem again. The biggest problem was I was going to deal with him alone. He had no father to turn to.
Right.
But I'd done mine with my faith. When I go home, I bet you that I've prayed to Boshin Mother for me, for help, and our father for help. And I didn't know what to do anymore with my son. I didn't give up, but I fought it. I fought it, but it was hurting me inside. So one night, I went to church. I've done this almost for a long time, forever. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I need help. But it never dawned on me somewhere along the line that night when I got home Saturday night. I went to his room, direct to his room. The voices was lit. I had the holy water incense in my hand. I went direct to his room. I don't know what guided me there, though. Because, like I said, I prayed to all the saints and so forth. Not thinking about his name, named after Michael, the most powerful angel. I went in there and I blessed it with holy water. I said, whatever is in this room, a drug of some kind, please make it weak, whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, Jim, I got in there and he's dead. I got down on my hands and knees. I was crying. And I told him, and I looked at that saint. And again, something didn't lift up my hand, but it just came to my mind that I better make a sign cross. I was alone in that room and actually crying. Father used to say, with tears, you're crying, you're actually talking to the saints. You're alone with them. That's your witness up there. So I looked up there and I said to him, Archangel Michael, I don't know what to do. I need help. I put, again my hands went up. I said, I need your help.
You got the power, I don't. As a mother, I'm asking for help. Do you know that's how strong your prayers are when you don't give up? It was answered, maybe not this minute. Some do.
Mm-hmm.
Some wait for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In a month's time, my prayer was answered. He came to me. I was coming home from church, from all by myself. He came to me, put his arms around me. He said, Mom, I made you and Daddy cry all these years from the age of 17. He says, what would you say if I told you that I want to enter the clitoral? You know, the drug and whatever, alcohol thing. I said, baby, I'm right behind you, no matter what. His sisters and brothers will not even speak to him because they were ashamed of him for what he was doing. I was not ashamed of my son. I wanted to help my son. Mm-hmm. As a parent, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. So he stayed there for 2 years on his own, and I was all away with Father Harris's help.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd give him communion and all that. The only thing that he had problem with before he came out of there, he said, Mom, I'm a little bit nervous. Oh, why, baby? He said, because I got thinking. I've been thinking a lot since I've been in here. I said, you never failed me. You come and see me all the time. Or be with me. Come and eat with me. As a mom, that's what our place is to do. We don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Children.
Yeah.
So he says then, he said, Mom, he says, I deal with these guys, drugs, you know, or marijuana, whatever it is. He was smoking pot, but he said, I never went into cocaine or whatever they had.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I did smoke a pot, I did drink beer, I did drink the hospital strongly. That's the only two that drove him a little bit out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what used to scare me. He said, kind of learned to go out there and face these people that I used to run around with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He says, I told you, don't worry about them. Those were not really your friends. They were there to take your money and whatever. So he ran into that situation after he came out. Again, he told me, he says, Mama, you was right. We were at the lake in Anchorage there, by the Baptist church down that where there's a group of women in the evening for a little out in the evening. We had to pop and sandwiches all by ourselves in the lake with the bikes. And this bike come up, and I heard him said, Gary. I was like, Gary came to a halt, and he said, oh. I says, Mom, excuse me, I want to talk to you. So they went out not very far. That's when I said a prayer again in my mind. I said, please. I knew it was one of those gangs.
Mm.
Thought they were talking for a while, but he came back. And then we headed home. He walked home. We lived in the Tahi apartment. Got in there, and he was a little fidgety. He was uncomfortable. He wanted to say something to me. I guess he just didn't want to at that time. But I never raised my voice at him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Michael, I said, you're kind of restless. He says, do you mind if I go down to the ballpark a minute? He said, the guy that you saw drove up on a bike. He's one of them. I said, I figured that was. He said, Mom, don't worry. I'll be back. I'll be back. Again, when he left, then I said a prayer in my mind again. Because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to believe him, but there was still a little bit doubt on me. I said, because he could be just weak, you know, there could be another temptation in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to come out from, if you became alcoholic, it's hard to come out of that, but same thing with the drugs, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that he's not quite strong enough. If they tempt him, maybe he'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did come back with a smile. He said, Mom, you were right. He says, they're not my friends. He said, I talked to him and asked him to see if he could join me when I go to the meeting tonight.
Mm.
He says, no. He says, no. And they never bothered him after that. They never say, well, you think you're better than we are or everything.
Mm-hmm.
No. Uh-uh. But he still runs into him, but they speak to each other and all that. But I was afraid that he might. Because once you became alcoholic or drunk, whatever it was, it's really hard. It's just like cigarette.
mm-hmm. example, you know. It's a habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's only us to make up our mind to do better, to stop drinking, or drugs, mm-hmm. smoking. It's mm-hmm. up to us. Yeah. So yeah. that's how strong it was with the drugs. I want to, because Gordon, when I was in Larson Bay, there was Clyda's grandson, the one that's in the jail right now, Rick Hockman, and Marina's grandson, Michael Noma. Mm-hmm. While I was gone, there was an accident. I think it was Russian Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
or was it New Year's? They were real close buddies. They were drunk. So Rick Hockman is the one that shot his own best friend, mm-hmm. Michael Noma,
mm-hmm.
in Larson Bay. And do you know what that night? I can't say that if I was sound asleep or just half. And this happened. I didn't know. They appeared. That's why I can't say, was I dreaming or was I not? Or was I just in between? They came to me. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them come into that door. So I think maybe I was dreaming, whatever. They showed up and they said to me, they said, "You're the only one. Light us a candle."
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying, was I really sound asleep or was I just lightly?
Mm-hmm.
That morning, 8 o'clock, they called me from Larson Bay that Rick shot Michael.
Mm-hmm.
They were both Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they were asking, especially Michael, the one that shot Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You are the only one who light the candle."
Mm.
It's somehow that they reach you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I used to talk to them. There was that Aga boy, all those teenagers, Oscar's mm-hmm. kids. I used to tell them, if you got problem, come talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
It will be personal. In my house, I have a little old house down there. It's one of those old-fashioned homes. I always keep my voices all lit up in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So two of them came. We were just talking like this. There was nothing personal or nothing. This was just open
mm-hmm.
conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my husband was sitting down listening to them boys. And when they came in, that was the first time they ever came into the little old house. It was painted, you know, voices all lit up. And I said, remember, when you come into a home that's got icon, don't be ashamed to make a cross. This is for you.
Mm-hmm.
When they came in, they said, wow, this place is homey, you know,
mm-hmm.
homey. And we talked a little while. I shook him, hugged him. Sure enough, next day one of them showed up.
Mm.
Just him and I. And our father up above was a witness.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's how come they learned to respect me. They said, you're the only one that comes here and tell us these things. Our grandparents will not say anything. Our aunties won't say anything. They drink with us. We get drunk with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way to raise your children. I talked to my brother quite a bit. And that's another thing, how powerful mom's words are. This was passed down to me by my mother when he was dying.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, Moses Maluku, half-brother. We got same mom, but different fathers. His father's name was Paul Maluku. They were from a fog neck here. And he died with TB. He has problems. But again, when we're younger, when you're drinking, whatever, you have filthy mouth, you know, always. Nasty words. Or he would hit me. I said, don't you ever hit me in my face regardless. So we always got disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
And I never said anything to him. To this day, I don't. If I see him feeling good, I disown him. I'll go the opposite direction. He knows it. Mama was dying at Providence Hospital. She's talking to me. She said, when my time is coming and I can't talk to you no more, watch my eyes. I'll talk to you through my eyes. So I started to interrupt her, says, Listen to me first. And then when I get there, you can ask me a question. We were discussing her son.
Mm-hmm.
He's the youngest. She loved him so much. She knew somebody had to talk to him. She said, you're the sister. You're the oldest. You know, you're Kuahlu. That's when she told me, go ahead, ask me a question. Number one was, Mom, how am I supposed to read your mind, your words, if you're going to talk to me through your eyes? When the time comes, you'll understand. That's all she would say. You will. Mm-hmm. Four was 4 o'clock, she was going to die. On the fourth, she was going to come here to Kodiak Island to be buried by Sinter.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. So the time came. She started out. It's funny that you could feel that it's getting close because they already changed her. In the room, they changed her beds into white. It was silent. They took all the machines off and everything. And in her bed was a bougie mother. Those sisters were so good in Providence.
Mm-hmm.
They always had the lampa that lit up for her. And this was Russian Christmas time, shortly after Russian Christmas.
Mm.
She told Father Dennis at Father Nicholas Harris, Tokoku takoma, or if you sense it, Atokoku slava vishnibo, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he did. He said, I may not hear you, but Ingalaka watch my eyes. She told him also.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we always sing that slava vishnibo. Special request from her.
She was a sweet woman.
Yeah, and she says to me then, what are you going to do when your mama's dying, you know? She looked at my husband. There was four of us. My husband, Layla's husband, Layla, and me on this side and my brother. She looked at him. I wasn't paying attention, but I was alert. But I was trying to figure out how am I going to recognize it, you know? She skipped him, went to the other one. Held her eyes like... When it came to Moses, then I realized, because her eyes was really getting restless.
Mm-hmm.
So she was going like this and like this, real fast.
Mm.
Like as the time is running out, almost. So that's when I told Layla, I said, why don't you take Uncle Mo down to your place for a cup of coffee, or we're going to go downstairs and eat, because they always had that place ready for us to go and eat.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, I said, ask for forgiveness and kiss Grandma before you walk out. Tell her she did. On the last moment, she looked at me. And she looked at me straight in my eyes. She spooked me out. I said, what? What do you want to hear, Mom? I said, I've said all I can. Every day, every night when I'm going to leave you, I always ask forgiveness from you. I will tell her, Akhata, I said, go in peace. Don't worry. She stared at me till I was gone. Again, Jeff, I was standing right there by her bedside. Ekanga, Tulugi, holding it like this. Mom, she never stirred at all. She just remained watching me like if she wanted me to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't think of anything because I said everything I could to her.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the Boshi Mother, I looked at the Boshi Mother, my hands came up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. I said, God is with us, understanding nations, for God is with us. That's all she wanted to hear from me. Closed her eyes. On the second one, she took a deep breath. Like he says, and that's what I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Slava Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me about those eyes. She said, Mom, coming to my brother. I said, you know how mean he gets when he's drinking, you know? And I didn't want him to see him attack me or hit me in my shoulder and call my husband. Because him and my brother got along real well. I didn't want no enemies at that moment, neither one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was afraid of, that he might. The store was packed. This was on Thanksgiving, our first celebration, 85, when we went to Larson Bay. We went there. In 88, he died with colon cancer. Tawa Moses Bilugu, my husband, Mipton Penitama, she said, Love Kachchegugu, let's go to the store. Last night, you might need something for them. Tatahapakaluni, that store in Larson Bay, you know, Sukhiakaluni. Jesse was working on a cash register. There was a whole bunch of our Aluktuk that spoke our language.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear him in the background. I said, my husband said to me, he said, Uncle Mo is drinking. I said, I know. So I took that basket and I was speeding around, curving around so I wouldn't get close to him, avoiding him. Ah, here we come. He said, sis. I said, yep. I looked at him. First word I said, I asked you not to drink. Bituchtudun. Ashma, just a little bit. I said, I asked you not to drink. I said, because tomorrow is our first Thanksgiving dinner in Mama's house for many years. I knew then that he wasn't going to listen to me. But I avoided him so he won't get angry and upset me, and it's going to, one word would lead to the next, and first thing you know, we're both out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But I was holding it. And he kept following me, bugging me. And somehow another mother's words would come around to me to hold on. So I came in front of the cash register. The cash register stopped. Jesse stopped it. Everybody got quiet. I turned around and I told him, Moses, I asked him not to drink because tomorrow is Thanksgiving in Mama's house. A little teacher in Telugu, she used to say, Hinachpani tangchikana. He will see me in your face.
Mm-hmm.
He will never attack you again. So I used that. But at that moment, I wasn't thinking. But it dawned on me, this is the time to attack him back in that manner. Because it was, the store was, I mean, people was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at him, I said, Moses, Hina, Kina Hina Mitamachu. He looked at me. I said, in English, for everybody to know what I said, I'm asking you, Moses, who do you see in my face? That's when he told Peter, let's go. He did show up the next day,
mm-hmm.
12 o'clock. He called me on the CB, but he had a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
When he walked through that door, I asked him, Moses. He said, sis, don't ask me. I know. What did you know? I saw Mama.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the words Mama said.
Mm-hmm.
He would never attack you. And I keep knocking on the road that he'd never had.
Mm-hmm.
When I see him drinking now, he doesn't say those ugly words to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mama's words are very, very strong and powerful. That's why they always say, honor thy parents, honor
mm-hmm.
thy mom and papa,
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. your elders. So you have to excuse me when I shed a tear every now and then, because I mean it from inside.
Mm.
I want this young generation to hear me out. This is what I talk about when I tell stories wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
I begin my stories with the Lord's Prayer. I ended up with most beautiful songs on my way out. Ask for forgiveness as I go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another story. Forgiveness is the strongest thing to do. You will not die unless you ask for forgiveness. Mama
mm-hmm.
used to say, if they don't respond, at least you got it out.
Mm-hmm.
You're clear.
Yeah.
Then people got conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. The reason why I said that is because I'm going to have to come back to Philip Rostopsov. He was my stepdad. That man was never happy, no matter what I done, to please him. But once in a while, he would be so kind that I was so happy.
Mm-hmm.
In a few minutes, he turned opposite.
Mm.
Opposite. Whether he was drinking or not.
Mm.
Yeah. He was down in Olga Bay when he had that TB in 19... I cannot remember what year it was. I was down there. It was shortly after that. In 15, I cannot remember because it was before Layla was born. It was before Layla was born. He had a son, they used to call him Ochina. What did they call it? His son's name was Gust too, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was named Konstantin Gust. And his cousin was his brother, Nicholas. And he was very, very ill with TB. I was down there and I went down and see him. And I told him that. I went back down to San Diego because my husband was in the service then. And then they called me back and they said to me, he says, no, Daddy wants you home. When I got home, he was telling me, so I'll be hung up with you, forgive me. I said, Dad, you're my dad. You know? Why should you ask for forgiveness from me? You know? Because I have to. Bozi will not forgive me. Dukungna kwanga, I can't go. He said, something is wrong. I think it's you. I have to ask for forgiveness personally from you. I kept telling him, Dad, you had every right. You know, you're my dad. He said, you don't have to ask for forgiveness. No. I want to hear it. He said, that's better. That's better. And he did the same. 4 days later, that man passed away. He kept telling me, you're the one that's holding me back. I couldn't understand him why it was me.
Mm.
I need to hear those words personally from you. That's how important the forgiveness is.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Yes. I have to cry sometimes. I do. I've been doing a lot of crying up there. Yeah. I'm so glad sometimes that I'm able to reach people, all kinds of people from Europe, United States, Lower 48, to listen to my stories because it's from my heart all the way up. I'm not ashamed who I am. I'm proud of who I am, our culture. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to make a sign of a cross, no matter where I'm at. Yeah. This is how I believe. You know. But how I like to wonder, how did my ancestors know that I would be the only one left to tell these stories? Each time I tell a story, I gain it again. It comes back, the memory comes back stronger. Yeah. When I had that heart attack, a couple years ago in the hospital, I thought these over. Like if Boshi was saying to me, he says, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. Go back. Teach more. You know? Don't be ashamed to talk about our Lord. Let them know. Because He's coming. He's on His way. None of us know when He's going to be here. Mm-hmm. This moment, seconds, you know? He's not going to call us on the TV or whatever it is. Let them know that I'm coming. We're supposed to be ready at all times. All times. Yes. And He's on His way with all these things that are going around in this world. Everything that our ancestors had said is come true. Yeah. I always wonder, does He have a place for me when my time comes? My brother and I made it a call when he found out that I was in the hospital. He called, that was the first time he's ever called me sober and crying on the phone sober, the hospital. He said, don't cry. But he said, sis, I don't want you to go before me. I said, well, don't you think I feel the same way? I don't want to leave you either, you know? But we're all in God's hands. So to make him laugh, I had to come up with something, you know? And I said, I'll tell you what, I was talking to him, Alan. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to write a letter to Bozi tonight, okay? And I want you to sign it, and I'll sign it. He said, listen. I said, well, just tell Bozi that we want to go together, you know? He says, how are you going to mail it? We'll let the crow take it up there. Somebody started crying. He stopped crying and started laughing. Yeah, I try to make him not thinking about these things. Yeah. I love each and every one of you. Each time I come here, like a while ago, the girls were leaving, and I bless them. I believe in that, because who knows? Maybe I'm here now, or you're here now. It happens every day of our life. We lose our loved ones, our friends.
Mm.
Look at Alice, for instance. I miss her because she was the one who was real close to me, Alexandra, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Julia's sister.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Glyda. Yeah. Yeah. Blagoslovihaliki. I mean, at least I will be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
With myself. Blagoslovihaliki. To your destinations. Wherever we're going. To Kodiak, a Fogdak, wherever. When I make a move in the mornings, Agayulwanga, thank the Lord that I'm here. I'm going to go on that boat, going to Fagnag yesterday, prayed so we can come back and return. When we're on the plane, the first move it came up the air, you make a post for your destination. Thank him that you landed there, pray for him for your return. Maybe I'm too old-fashioned, I don't know. But I love it. I love every moment of it.
It's good.
I would never want to forget that, you know. Of course we worked hard in our times. But everybody in the family worked. There was five of us. Every one of us had a chore duty from morning till evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone worked together. Today is Sabbath day. This is the day that we took a break. 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Work stops. Get ready for services.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Sunday. We all used to look forward for Sunday because they'd say, Kita, go play ball or whatever you must do. That mm-hmm. was our break. I'm glad that my papa taught me all these indoors and outdoor lives.
Mm-hmm.
He showed me how to go trapping it, how to skin them, and all that. Chop wood, kindling wood. I did all those things.
Mm-hmm.
All those things. He said, you won't starve once you go out in the wilderness. It's very true. When he takes me out, he used to tell me, you tie a ribbon on this post. For the west is different color, east is different color, then you know your direction. You
mm.
lost it.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you for asking me. I didn't mean to exaggerate and went all the way this far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to say those, and thank you, Gordon, for reminding me.
Thanks.
I'm sorry that I couldn't help you with the Fagnag, because I don't know too much about the Fagnag. That's why I was so grateful that I was able to go over there yesterday, because it's when I was a little girl, that's when I was here, partly. But I couldn't help you with, otherwise, these men marrying these girls from our homes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got to know each other a little bit.
Right.
As far as being born in a farm, I couldn't tell you those. I might be telling stories or whatever.
Well, I'm going to turn this off for a bit here. Sounds like a plant's coming anyway. So.